Slide 4. Continuing with 3.1.3, information about your files. To get the time and date when a file was created from the Files menu, write an M for the currently open file, or an M chord for a file not currently open. Using the help file as our currently open file, you hear something like help, date 12/22/92, time 10/38. Enter file command. If you write the letter M instead of cording it, Braille and Speak says, enter file name, and waits for you to tell it which file you want checked. Once you write the file's name, say, the address file we created back in Chapter 2, the Braille and Speak should tell you that file's creation date and time, and leave you back in the Files menu, waiting for you to issue another command. Exit with an E or an E chord. To get the byte count of a file, that is, the number of characters in the file, including spaces and carriage returns and everything, from the Files menu, press a WH sign chord. Still using help file as our currently open file, you hear something like help 10,196 bytes. Enter file command. Bytes become important when you're transmitting data and have a disk that's almost full and you're trying to fit one more Braille and Speak file onto that disk, for example. Or when you're transmitting a file over a modem and need to tell the person at the other end what size file to expect. As we said earlier, if you want to check out the byte count of a file not currently open, from the Files menu, write the WH sign to hear the prompt, enter file name. Writing the name of the file, whose byte count you want followed by an E chord, quickly produces the information for you. As usual, you are left in the Files menu. Exit with an E or an E chord to return to your currently open file. Now that we've seen the different ways to get file information, let's move on to the stopwatch and timer, yet another bonus built into the Braille and Speak. Section 3.2, the stopwatch and the timer. The stopwatch and the timer work hand in hand on the Braille and Speak. That is, you use the same choice from the options menu to select either one. Basically, making the choice for watch from the options menu brings you into a mode where you can use either the stopwatch or the timer. It's interesting to note that the function of a stopwatch is in effect the opposite of the function of a timer. While a stopwatch times the duration of an event for you, the timer counts down the duration you have set for an event. Let's look at the stopwatch first. 3.2.1, the stopwatch. The Braille and Speak stopwatch performs all the functions you'd expect. It counts down the time you set. It tells you how much time has elapsed since you set it, and so on. To enter the stopwatch mode, you make a choice from the options menu. Enter an O chord, as usual, to bring up the prompt option, and write a W for watch. The Braille and Speak says, stopwatch ready. When you are in the stopwatch mode, you can perform only stopwatch tasks. That is, you cannot ask for the date, the time of day, perform calculations, read or write text, etc. In order to perform those functions, you have to exit the stopwatch mode with a Z chord. The Braille and Speak confirms exit and leaves you back in whatever file you were last working. 3.2.1.1, starting and stopping the stopwatch. You can run the stopwatch without setting it to a specific time. Enter the stopwatch mode with an O chord, W, and at the stopwatch ready prompt, press .6. The Braille and Speak says running. Sit back, relax, count backwards from 10 slowly. Then press .6 again. The Brown speak announces a time interval followed by the word stopped, something like 25 seconds, 3/10, stopped. Next, press dot 6 again. The Braille and speak says, running. As you press dot 6, start naming the days of the week. When you have finished, press dot 6 again. The Braille and speak says, a number followed by the word stopped. Notice that the number is bigger than the number spoken when you timed your countdown. The stopwatch has added the time you took to recite the days of the week to the time you took to run your countdown. An excellent use of the stopwatch is for calling timeout during an event. 3.2.1.2, reading elapsed time. Let's repeat our countdown from 10 backwards, but this time start the stopwatch by pressing dot 6. Once the Braille and speak says running, recite your countdown. After speaking each number, press the space bar. Each time you do, the Braille and speak announces a new time. You are observing the passage of time. Each time you press the space bar, the stopwatch announces the time at the instant the key is pressed. With the stopwatch in the stopped position, if you press the space bar, the Braille and speak announces the present time followed by the word stopped. It might say something like 7 seconds, 8/10, stopped. Now let's suppose you have pressed the space bar to read the stopwatch but are interrupted by a slamming door. You need to hear this last announcement again. Write a C to hear the most recent time announced again and again. Press C as often as you like. Even with the stopwatch still running, the time you heard last when you pressed the space bar is announced. Now go ahead and press the space bar again. Notice that some time has elapsed since we started. Probably you hear something like 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 3/10, for example. But how do you stop the watch from running, and how do you set it? Let's check that out next. 3.2.1.3, stopping and resetting the stopwatch. We have learned that pressing dot 6 stops and starts the stopwatch without resetting the time to zero. The final stopwatch command we'll look at does both. With the stopwatch running, press dot 3. The Braille and speak says the time elapsed since you started the watch running, followed by the words stopped, reset. Suppose you did not hear the time announcement portion of the message. Will writing a C let you hear it again? Yes, it will. What happens if you press the space bar? In that case, you'll hear the message stopped. Pressing C again also causes stopped to be repeated. By the way, the stopwatch does not operate only when the Braille and speak is turned on. If you have the stopwatch running when you turn off the unit, when you turn it back on, the stopwatch will pick up its time right where you had left it off. The stopwatch has a capacity of 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59.9 seconds. Chances are you won't need it to be running for a whole day, though. 3.2.2, the timer. In a sense, the countdown timer is similar to an alarm clock or a kitchen timer. Once you start the countdown timer, you can cancel it, but you cannot put it on hold. You need to be in stopwatch mode to use the timer. Press an O chord W if you're not in it already. To start the timer, enter a Braille number sign, dots 3456. The Braille speak says, enter countdown minutes. Using dropped numbers, write a 2. Then write an E chord. The Braille speak says, enter countdown seconds. Write the number 15. Then press an E chord. The Braille and speak should now say, counting. Now sit back and wait. In 1 minute and 15 seconds, the bell and speak will say, 1 minute. If you continue to wait, at the end of 2 minutes, the bell and speak will say, time is up, stopwatch ready. 3.2.2.1, finding out time remaining. Let's see how to determine how much time remains on the timer. Return to the countdown timer and enter 2 minutes 15 seconds again. Then enter an E chord and listen for the Braille and speak to say counting. After a few seconds, press the space bar. The Braille and speak might say something like 0 minutes 30 seconds remaining. Pressing the space bar repeatedly tells you how much time remains to be counted down. 3.2.2.2, timing in the background. If you are timing an event, you may have better things to do than staying with your Braille and speak and pressing the space bar every so often to see how much time remains. As long as you leave the unit turned on, you are free to write or read text and perform other activities, as long as you end your countdown request by writing an E chord twice. Here's an example. Set your countdown timer to 1 minute 20 seconds. When you have written the 20, write an E chord. The Braille and speak says, counting. Write another E chord and the Braille and speak says, okay, and returns you to whatever file you were last working in before you entered the stopwatch mode and to the exact place where you were working. Even if you're just reading, and it's a long file, after the end of the minute and 20 seconds, the Braille and speak will stop reading and say, time is up. However, it will not say, stopwatch ready, as it did before. You are still in your file, exactly at the place where the timer interrupted, to let you know it had stopped. How nice that you don't actually have to be standing in the kitchen waiting to hear the timer go off on your microwave. Set it on the Braille and speak instead and keep working in your living room. When dinner is ready, the Braille and speak will let you know. Section 3.3, the calculator. The Braille and Speak's calculator performs all the usual calculator functions. It can add, subtract, multiply, divide, calculate percentages, and extract square roots. You can store results of calculations in its 6 memory locations, whose letter labels can facilitate the calculating process. 3.3.1, basic operations. The calculator uses the standard Nemis Braille symbols for the basic operations, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, calculating percentages, and computing square roots. We list these Braille symbols here for your convenience. Addition, dots 3, 4, 6, ing sign. Subtraction, dots 3, 6, hyphen. Multiplication, dots 1, 6. CH sign. Division, dots 3, 4, the ST sign. Percent, dots 1, 4, 6, SH sign. Square root, dots 3, 4, 5, chord, AR sign. Decimal point, dots 4, 6. To enter the calculator mode, you make a choice from the options menu as usual. This time, you press an O chord C. The Braille and speak says, option, calculator ready. When you're finished with the calculator, you can return to the file in which you were working by simply pressing a Z chord, just as we did to exit both the countdown timer and the stopwatch. When you do, the Braille and speak confirms exit. Now let's run through some examples of using the calculator. We'll assume that you're in the calculator mode. To perform any operation with the calculator, you write an arithmetic expression, including all appropriate operation symbols, like a plus sign, for example, and you end the expression with an E chord. You never include spaces in your computation, as you might when writing something out on a piece of paper. You use only dropped numbers to calculate, and the Braille and Speak recognizes the operation symbols listed above as a command to perform the particular operation. Entering an E chord tells the Braille and Speak, "Okay, go and figure this out, and tell me the answer, please." Write 2 plus 2, followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak responds 4, or 4 period. The response varies with how your speech parameters for punctuation announcement are set. To do another calculation, you do not have to clear the calculator. The Braille and Speak assumes that when you enter a number, after you have obtained a result with an E chord, you are starting another calculation. Write 375 minus 157, followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak responds 218. To be absolutely sure that the calculator is cleared for another computation, simply press a zero chord, dots 356, and the Braille and Speak confirms clear. Now go ahead and try a few sample calculations on your own using some other operations like multiplication. Try decimals. Try big numbers. A couple of notes. When working with negative numbers, you must clear the calculator between one computation and the next. Negative numbers are often used in algebraic expressions. If you're not familiar with their use, don't worry about it. Otherwise, the effect of your calculations is cumulative. When you enter the sign of the operation for addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division, the Braille and Speak announces the word plus, minus, times, divided by. 3.3.2, setting precision. So far, the calculations in our examples have come out even. There have been no remainders. If you divide 100 by 14, the Braille and Speak's response varies according to the number of decimal places to where your calculator is set. This is referred to as precision of the calculator. Usually, two decimal places is enough, since that's all you need for currency. But occasionally, you want a more precise response. Here's how to change the decimal precision on the calculator. From within calculator mode, press a P chord. At the Braille and Speak prompt, enter precision, write 3, followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak says, OK, to confirm your new setting. Now the calculator is set to compute out to 3 decimal places. Let's check it. Write 100 divided by 14, followed by an E chord. You should hear 7.142. You can set the calculator to a maximum precision of 12 decimal places. However, be aware that the calculator drops zeros at the end of a result. For example, if you divide 30,000 by 1190 and you have precision set to 2, you will get 252.1 as a result. If you set the precision to 3, you will still get 252.1 as a result. When you increase precision to 4, you will discover that your result is 252.1008. The second and third decimal places were 0 and were not spoken. 3.3.3, inserting calculation results into a file. Working your file as you normally do, writing text, cutting and pasting text, inserting and deleting text. When you're ready to insert the result of a calculation into your text, simply get into the calculator mode at that point, then perform your calculation. Next, Having obtained the desired result with an E chord, exit the calculator with a Z chord. Finally, press an I chord followed by an E chord. The BrailleSpeak remembers that you just calculated something and immediately inserts it into your open file and places you there, ready to continue working. 3.3.4, performing percentage calculations. Many people find dealing with percents baffling, to say the least. Nevertheless, we provide a couple of examples here for your convenience. Besides, we all use percentages far more than we realize in daily transactions. We'll assume that you're in calculator mode, ready to compute something. To determine what percent one number is of another number, first write the value of the percentage, then write the percent sign, and finally write the number whose percentage you want to calculate. As usual, finish the computation with an E chord. For example, to find 50% of 26, write 50, percent sign, 26, E chord. Remembering not to put spaces in between each part of the expression. The BrailleSpeak responds 13. Make sense? 50% of something is half of it, so clearly 13 is half of 26. By the way, for those of you who are considering using the BrailleSpeak for algebraic calculations, the BrailleSpeak does not come ready to do that out of the box. It can't, for example, perform calculations within parentheses. This is a relatively simple machine, and if you need that sort of result, you will have to perform the calculations within parentheses one at a time and perhaps store the results in the BrailleSpeak's calculator memory locations. However, there is a scientific calculator on disk with its own documentation, free when purchased with Blazy's own external disk drive, which you can add to the 640 that does allow you to get rather fancy. 3.3.5, storing and using the 6 memory locations. The BrailleSpeak calculator has 6 memory locations where you can store results of computations. These memory locations are labeled A, B, C, D, E, and F. Results you store in them are saved after exiting the calculator mode and turning off the BrailleSpeak. There are two ways to store a number in a memory location. One way is to store the result of a calculation. First, write an arithmetic expression and press an E chord to compute its result. Then press an S chord. The BrailleSpeak says store. Write the letter of the memory location where you want to store it, for example, A. The BrailleSpeak confirms OK. A second way is to start with a cleared calculator memory and simply write a number followed by an E chord. Then press an S chord followed by the letter of the memory location where you want it stored. To read the contents of the memory location, simply write the letter of that location followed by an E chord. If you have stored a number in a memory location, you can use that number within a calculation. Write the letter of the memory location where you stored the number as part of an expression to be calculated. For example, write 3 minus 2 followed by an E chord. At the response 1, press an S chord, A, to store the result in memory location A. Write 3 minus 1 followed by an E chord. At the response 2, press an S chord B to store this result in memory location B. So now you have the numbers stored in memory locations A and B. Write A plus B followed by an E chord. The BrailleSpeak looks up the numbers stored in each memory location and calculates 3. You were able to add the numbers using only the letter labels of the memory locations. There is a special memory location we haven't mentioned yet, the letter R. Recall that to press an E chord at the end of a calculation produces a result. You can store a result in its own special memory location by simply writing the letter R. You don't have to use the S chord at all. Then you can use it the same way we described above for the other memory locations labeled A through F. With a bit of practice, you can use the memory locations to store long numbers, or important ones like the amount of your paycheck, so that you can track how it's dwindling as you go through the week. 3.3.6, extracting a square root. To extract the square root of a number, press an AR sign chord, dots 3, 4, 5, immediately followed by the number. For example, to extract the square root of 25, simply write the number, 25, followed by an AR sign chord. You don't even need to press an E chord to hear the Braillean speak say 5. 3.3.7, error messages and tips. If you set the calculator an impossible task, such as dividing 17 by 0, the Braillean speak rejects the expression with error. If you use an incorrect chord for an E chord, the Braillean speak says not valid calculator command. You can use the backspace B chord to make corrections. For example, if you want to add 0.5 and 0.5, but write 0.4 as your second entry, press a B chord to erase the 4, and then write the 5, followed by an E chord. The Braillean speak responds to your corrected entry with 1. If you haven't pressed an E chord yet, you can hear the calculation you have written thus far by pressing a C chord. Once you press the E chord, however, pressing C chord is ineffective. Finally, pressing an F chord toggles you between speaking numbers as digits or full words from within the calculator mode. You can see that the calculator is quite a bonus. Now let's turn to some other handy tools that come with the Braillean speak. Double asterisk, 3.4, word exceptions. Note, this section is unique to the 640. The Braillean speak is obviously a very handy device for so many tasks, but oh, how frustrating that it can't pronounce certain things just right. Well, that's the price you pay for a mechanical speech, isn't it? Not really. You can get the Braillean speak to pronounce things just the way you want. The word exceptions dictionary takes care of funny-sounding words, proper names, and abbreviations. You can create a special file containing unusual words or letter combinations, acronyms, that the Braillean speak may not recognize. Take, for example, the letters USA, a very common abbreviation, isn't it? Yet the Braillean speak can't be expected to take everything into account. Get into an existing file or create a new one for practicing with this concept. For our example, we'll use our practice file from Chapter 2. Get into it now. Let's start with a clean slate. We'll assume that your practice file is empty. If it isn't, delete whatever practice junk you have in it at this time. Write USA, and notice that the Braillean speak says USA, as if it were a word. We'll create a file called word.fix to keep track of such anomalies, so that when you write the abbreviation, the Braillean speak will pronounce it correctly. Get into the Files menu and create a file called word.fix, having one Braillean speak page and having Braille translation off. Within this new file, write in ASCII only, not in grade 2 Braille, the letters USA, just as before, except this time, follow the letters immediately by an ASCII equal sign, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then write each letter separated by spaces. So your text should look like this. We spell this out precisely in Braille terms for clarity. USA dots 123456 U space S space A. Now press a carriage return at dots 46 chord. You have just created your first word exception. Go back to your file called practice, where you had the text that caused this havoc in the first place. Does the Braille and Speak now say USA, or does it still say USA? It may or it may not. That depends on whether the Braille and Speak is awake and looking for word exceptions. Check the status menu to see whether word exceptions is on or off. You do this by pressing an ST sign chord, dots 3-4, from any point in your work. The Braille and Speak says, status menu. To find out whether word exceptions is in effect, write an E for exceptions. The Braille and Speak should say something like, exceptions check on. To turn it off, simply press an N. And to turn it on, press a Y. Exit the status menu with an E chord. What's important about the Word Exceptions Dictionary is that you must be using computer Braille when you write in it. You write the word or phrase or acronym followed immediately by the ASCII equal sign and then the correction. This feature of the Braille and Speak is especially nice for proper names and for all those alphabet soup acronyms that are part of daily life nowadays. Next, we'll look at macros, and we don't mean fish. Section 3.5, macros. If you already work with computers, you are probably already familiar with the concept of macros. As with previous concepts in this manual, we assume that you may not be familiar with a concept when we first introduce it. The Braille and Speak is such a versatile yet user-friendly device that many of you may be first-time users. Those of you who know about macros may wish to skip this introductory section and go directly to the section on how to create and execute macros. 3.5.1. What's a macro anyway? Have you noticed that there are some key sequences we perform all the time? For example, we're always telling you to get to the files menu, which is usually means pressing an O chord F. Big deal. That's only two keystrokes. But what if you check your calendar several times a day, for example, or if you jump in and out of a certain file all the time to look up a phone number? The several keystrokes involved may be a nuisance to repeat, and maybe you just don't want to take the time. Granted, the Braille and Speak shuts up as soon as you press a key during the processing of a command. You don't necessarily have to listen to it speak an entire prompt before you respond to it. It's a time saver. But it's convenient to simply use a two-keystroke command that performs some things automatically for you that would otherwise be tedious. Let's look at an example. Suppose you constantly need to access your address file to look up a phone number. That's probably the most practical use of a macro that readily comes to mind. Ordinarily, you would do the following. As you'll recall from Chapter 2, press O chord. At the option prompt, write an F. At the Enter File Command prompt, write an O. At the Enter File to Open prompt, spell out the name of the file, followed by an E chord. At the File Name Now Open prompt, press an L chord to get to the top of the file. At the Top of File prompt, press an F chord. At the Enter Text to Find prompt, write the name of the person whose number you want to find. Then press an E chord. Assuming the name is found, the Braille and Speak says the name. Then press a .4 chord to hear the number following the name. Then press an O chord followed by an F chord followed by an O chord, followed by the name of the file you were in before, followed by an E chord to get back there. A fatiguing exercise when repeated regularly, no matter how fast you are. The Braille and Speak can help make the whole business a lot easier with a macro. Yes, you could eliminate some of the steps above if you know that the address file is file number 5 and you press an O chord followed by a dropped 05 to get there, etc. But overall, you're still dealing with a lot of keystrokes. The power of a macro is its ability to reduce significantly the number of keystrokes you have to perform in order to accomplish a task that you perform repeatedly. Now let's see how it all works. 3.5.2, recording a macro. Although every aspect of macros we discuss below is available in both models of the Braille and Speak, the Classic stores macros internally rather than in a separate file. However, when you create a macro for the first time in the 640, it automatically creates a file called macros.sys and places it at the end of your files list. The macros.sys file stores the macros you create so that when you want to perform or execute them, the Braille and Speak can find them. You can create a macro of up to 63 keystrokes for the 640 and up to 41 keystrokes for the Classic. During the process of recording a macro, about 6 keystrokes before the maximum allowed, you are alerted with a beep. The number of macros you can create is limited by the number of characters in your Braille repertory. You can name a macro by a letter of the alphabet, or you can name it by any Braille symbol, like THE sign, dots 2346. We suggest, however, that you keep to naming your macros by letters of the alphabet that have some significance to you later on. For example, a macro for your calendar should probably be named by the letter C. A word of caution. When you are creating or recording a macro, that is literally what you are doing. You are performing the sequence of keystrokes that you want to automate and recording that sequence at the same time. So we strongly recommend that you record a macro very slowly and carefully to avoid writing erroneous keystrokes. This is especially important if some of the macro is supposed to delete or add text or files. Imagine your surprise if you accidentally delete the wrong file as you're recording your macro. It could be a costly mistake. Oh, it won't matter by the time you go to execute the macro. You'll already have deleted the file. So remember that recording a macro is like recording on your tape recorder with a live microphone. Unwanted conversation or extraneous noises can creep into a recording. Likewise, unwanted keystrokes can creep into a macro if you're not very careful. We'll start with a very simple example of recording a macro. Let's get into the file called Practice and go to the end of the file. We'll create a macro that simply adds one day to today's date and inserts that date into our file. You might use this at the end of each day to move your calendar forward a day. We start by checking today's date. For sample purposes, we'll say that today is Friday, January 1st, 1993. To begin recording the macro, we suggest that you first run through all the steps of the macro to make sure that each step does exactly what you want. Remember that when you're actually recording the macro, you are in fact performing the steps that you are recording. So it's best to plan carefully. The steps to the process we've described in our sample are as follows. Note, this example assumes that you are using the 640. You may need to substitute another example if you have the Classic. O chord, G, followed by a dropped 1, E chord, I chord, E chord. Those steps do the following. O chord G gets you into the calendar mode. Writing the 1 moves the calendar forward a day from today's date. Pressing an E chord causes the Braille and speak to announce that date. Pressing an I chord gets you into the insert mode. And pressing the final E chord inserts the date just spoken by the Braille and speak into your file. Now let's perform the actual recording. Make sure that you're at the end of your file and that the last 3 characters are hard carriage returns, dots, 4, 6 chords. If they are not, write them in now. To start recording a macro, press an N chord. The Braille and speak says, macro, enter a key. We'll enter the letter C for calendar. The Braille and speak says, recording. Go ahead and perform the steps we've described above, and don't worry about the Braille and speak prompts. If you make a mistake during the process, simply abort the recording with a Z chord. Assuming that you enter all the steps correctly, you should have entered the following. We place a comma in between each entry merely for clarity. O chord, G, 1, E chord, E chord. Press another N chord to complete the recording of this macro. The Braille and speak should say, macro end. Notice that when you check the last line of your currently open file, you do indeed have tomorrow's date. So, as we advised, the Braille and speak not only recorded your macro, but also performed the steps within it. Now let's look at how to execute this macro again. We'll pretend that it's now tomorrow, and that we want to add the following day to our calendar. 3.5.3, calculating an existing macro. To invoke a macro that you've already created is a matter of 2 simple keystrokes, the first of which is always a J chord, and the second of which is the letter or other Braille symbol that you named your macro. If you are recording a macro and want to incorporate an existing one into it, as you're recording, press a J chord at the point where you want the previously existing macro to take over, instead of pressing an N chord to complete the recording process. Then write the character that represents the name of the previously existing macro. Let's see how to execute the macro we just recorded. Get to the end of your practice file and write in 3 hard carriage returns. Execute the macro for calendar update by pressing a J chord. The Braille and speak says macro. It's waiting for the character designation. Now write the letter C. Whether the Braille and speak actually voices each step in the processing of the macro depends on whether the unit is set to speak macros. For now, we'll assume that it is speaking the steps as it performs them. Notice that the Braille and speak finishes the whole process far faster than you could have. You should be at the point in your file that says tomorrow's date. What? Shouldn't it say the day after tomorrow? Well, remember that we were pretending that tomorrow is already here and that we were adding another day to our calendar. The Braille and speak doesn't know about our game, and so it simply added 1 day to today's date and inserted the date into your file. If it were tomorrow, you'd find that this macro would add the next day to your file. Remember that the Braille and speak keeps time and knows what date today is. Try this macro again tomorrow, and you'll see that it works as we suggest. Incidentally, we added those extra hard carriage returns because the Braille and speak inserts a date by replacing the last character in your file with a space. If you had not placed those hard carriage returns at the end of your file, you might have ended up with the date being part of the last line of text that was already in your file. 3.5.4, how to check a macro. You can control whether the Braille and Speak voices the steps of the macro as it executes them. From anywhere within a file, you can kill macro speech with a K chord or verbalize macro speech with a V chord. Whether to include K chord and V chord commands in your macro when you record it is a matter of choice. Once you become accustomed to making macros, you'll probably want speech turned off as the macro is executing. Certainly, the task you set the macro to perform is accomplished much faster if the Braille and Speak doesn't have to run through its prompts as it performs the task. But until you're very comfortable with macros, we suggest that you press a V chord to have the macro voice what it's doing. This is also helpful if you forget what the macro is supposed to do and want to check that out. Next, we'll talk about how to pause the processing of a macro so that you can respond to a prompt or enter text and then let the macro continue. This is where the full power of macros becomes self-evident. 3.5.5, pausing a macro. In our introduction to macros, we suggested a rather elaborate example of a macro where you can search for text in your address file. Let's see how this works. The assumption underlying the process here is that the macro will pause long enough for you to enter the text you're trying to find, and then go and find it for you. To pause a macro while it's executing, you issue a special command as you record the macro at the point where you want to pause the processing of a macro. Press a CH sign code, dots 16, once to pause the macro for you to enter a single character. The Braille and Speak says, pause. Or, press CH sign code twice to pause the macro for you to enter a full line of text. The Braille and Speak says, line pause. When pausing the macro so that you may enter more than a single character, you tell the macro to continue processing with an E chord. The Braille and Speak confirms pause end. Let's go through an example. We won't make this as complicated as the one we suggested earlier. Let's simply automate the search process to become a search and replace process. Get into your practice file and delete all of its contents. Make sure there's nothing you need to keep first, of course. We want to start with an empty file for this example. Now write the following. Mary had a little lamb. Silly, yes, but for sample purposes it will do the job. We're going to write a macro that will find specific text and replace it with other text. We don't know what text specifically we want to find at this point, nor do we know with what text we will want to replace it. All we know is that we want to find text, delete that text, and then replace it with new text. So our macro will have the following steps in it. L chord, top of file. F chord, the command to find text. CH sign chord, CH sign chord, to pause the macro for us to enter the text we want to find. E chord, E chord. The first to end the pause, the second to go and find the text. D chord, W, to delete the word that was found. I chord, to place us in the insert mode. CH sign chord, CH sign chord, to pause the macro again for us to write the word with which we are replacing the old one. E chord, E chord, the first to end the pause, the second to enter the word we are replacing into the file, and exit insert mode. That's the end of the macro. Since this macro has prompts, we need to hear, press a V chord to verbalize macro speech before starting the recording process. Go ahead and record this macro, starting and ending with an N chord and naming it with the letter S for search. As you are recording it, answer the prompt, enter text to find with Mary, and answer the prompt, insert with Jane, space. Notice that we ended Jane with a space. Remember that the Braille and Speak can't know whether we are inserting a single word or a line or what. So since we know that another word follows the old word we deleted in a sentence, we have to include a space in our replacement. After pressing the final end chord that completes the recording of your macro, read what's in your file. You should hear, Jane had a little lamb. Let's execute this macro with a J chord S and see what happens. You should hear, top of file, enter text to find, line pause. Write, lamb, and press an E chord to let the macro continue. You'll hear, pause end. Then you should hear, OK, delete parameter, word, OK, insert mode active, line pause. Write, dog, followed by an E chord to let the macro finish. You'll hear, pause end. Now read what's in your file. You should hear, Jane had a little dog. You now have a search and replace facility that didn't come from the factory. You created it yourself with the power of macros. Incidentally, you could turn the macro we just created into a full search and replace facility for the entire file by having chained it to itself. Recall that we said that you could end the recording of one macro with a J chord followed by the name of a previously existing one that you want to take over at a certain point. If you were to record the macro we just created and ended it with a J chord S instead of an N chord, you would have a macro that would continue running throughout the file. Of course, you can cancel it anywhere in the process with a Z chord. It might be useful to experiment with this concept with a junk file and a simple macro. Getting back to our original search and replace macro, what would happen if the text you are searching for is not found? The macro simply aborts at that point. So you don't even have to worry about having words accidentally deleted by invoking this particular macro. 3.5.6, Write Protecting Macros. Since we've created such a masterpiece of a macro, let's make sure we protect it. What if you forgot, for instance, that you already have a macro labeled with the letter S? You could accidentally start recording a new macro, erasing the one we so painstakingly created before. To avoid this potential hazard, you might consider protecting your macros. Press an N chord as if you were going to record a macro. At the prompt, macro, enter a key. Press a P chord. The Braille and Speak says, write protected. Now, if you try to write over an existing macro, the Braille and Speak stops you with write protected. In fact, you won't be able to create any new macros while in this mode. It's similar to write protecting your important files. When you try to write anything into a write protected file, the Braille and Speak issues a similar message. File is write protected. By the way, the macros.sys file is always protected. You couldn't write in it, even if you wanted to do so. To be able to write a macro again, you can unprotect them all with an N chord, U chord. The Braille and Speak will simply say, unprotected, and you'll be able to write macros once again. Clearly, macros are extremely helpful for adding even more flexibility to the Braille and Speak. Our final topics in this chapter deal with a couple of special modes in which you can use the Braille and Speak. Section 3.6, the one-handed Braille and Speak. Some people need to use the Braille and Speak with one hand rather than two. For those special cases, the Braille and Speak can be turned into a one-handed device. To turn the Braille and Speak into a device that accepts keystrokes for one-handed use only, simply press a .6 chord as you turn on the unit. The Braille and Speak says, one-hand mode on, Braille and Speak ready, file name now open. From this point on, the Braille and Speak accepts keystrokes as follows. The space bar is your focal point. To write a character that involves only dots to either side of the space bar, simply write the character, for example, an L, dots 123, followed by the space bar. The L is now entered into your file. If you need to write a character that involves dots on both sides of the space bar, say G, then write the left half first, dots 1, 2, and then the right half, dots 4, 5, followed by a space bar to enter the character into your file. You could have written the right half first, and then the left half. Or you could have pressed each key individually. The important thing to remember is that the character is entered only after you press the space bar. To enter chords is a little more complicated. You enter a chord in one-handed mode by starting with the space. Then you press the appropriate dots on either side of the space bar and end with another space. For example, to get to the end of a file, normally a dots 4, 5, 6 chord, you press the space bar, then write dots 4, 5, 6, then the space bar again. The Braille and Speak will then say, end of file. We suggest that you only use this mode if you truly require it. For most users, one-handed mode is unnecessary and potentially confusing if you accidentally get into it. To return the Braille and Speak to two-handed mode, simply press, say, dot 3 when you turn on the unit. Section 3.7, Review Only Mode. If you want to review the contents of a file, but don't want to bother having to repeatedly use chords to read paragraph after paragraph, you can place yourself temporarily in Review Mode by choosing it from the Options menu. Press an O chord, and at the Option prompt, write an R. The Braille and Speak says, Review On, OK. Until you issue another chord command, any chord will do, you can write characters that you'd normally have to press a space bar with to execute chord commands. For example, dot 4 reads you the next line. Dot 1, 4, or the letter C, reads you the current line, and so on. Exit review mode by simply pressing any chord. Again, the Braille and Speak will say off, or turn the unit off altogether to return it to normal use. Section 3.8, Summary. This chapter has covered a staggering array of utilities and tools available to you in the Braille and Speak. We suggest that you review those parts of the chapter that are especially crucial to your daily interactions with the Braille and Speak before moving on to our next challenge, telecommunications. It can scare some. Don't worry. We'll keep it as simple as possible. As with the concepts of the present chapter, you'll find that hooking up the Braille and Speak to other devices can only enhance your productivity. Take a deep breath, and let's move on. Chapter 4, Communicating with Other Devices. Up to now, we've looked at the Braille and Speak as a standalone device. In computerese, such a device can perform tasks on its own without being hooked up to any other devices. And we've seen how powerful the Braille and Speak is all by itself. We now start examining how the Braille and Speak can give you even more flexibility in your everyday life by hooking it up to other devices, printers, computers, disk drives, modems. No doubt, you've heard that things get real technical when words like cable, serial versus parallel, and even that big word, telecommunications, come on the scene. Consequently, many shy away from exploring what telecommunications can mean to them. It is indeed very easy to slide into jargon when discussing the subject. The good news is, you don't have to be a techie whiz in order to hook up your Braille and Speak to another device. As with previous sections of this manual, we assume that you may not be familiar with the subject of telecommunications, and that an introduction will help to demystify it for you. If you're already acquainted with the jargon, we suggest that you skim over the first section of this chapter anyway, because we discuss how you can customize telecommunication settings. You might then just skip to those sections that interest you. For example, you may not want to hook up the Braille and Speak to a disk drive. You may only want to know about how to hook it up to a PC or a printer or a modem. Therefore, each section is self-contained. Section 4.1, Introducing Telecommunications and Settings. What do you do when using your telephone or watching your television? Well, you are sending and receiving, of course, voice through the telephone and pictures through the TV. Telecommunications is simply the ability to send and receive information to and from one place to another, from one device to another. It is accomplished through cables linking the devices and by matching up various settings on the devices being linked. 4.1.1, cables. The Braille and Speak comes with a cable that you can connect to many printers, computers, and even modems. At times, you can make the connection without additional adapters or connectors, most printers, for example. But more often, devices require that cable adapters or additional cables be connected between the Braille and Speak cable and the other device. Let's clear up some of the mystery around cables right off. It's not important that you understand the technical details surrounding cabling issues, just that you be aware of what kind of connectors you may need. There are four things to consider when linking the Braille and Speak to another device: stereo versus parallel, gender, number of pins, no modem requirements. Don't be scared off by these terms. We promise not to get techie. End of Slide 4.